there, I wanted to ask what you think about these commandments. And we talked a little bit last week about these. I need three people to come and help me here. And I can't see anyone with their hand up. So, there we go. Right, Ulysses, can you hold this pen?
Okay.
I'm going to need you to scribble some things out in a minute.
Where?
I think you might be able to. Is anybody else going to... Elena, could you come and help me? Lewis, are you going to help? You're thinking about it. Anyone else want to come and help? Do you want to?
No.
No? Okay. Hannah? Come over here then, Elena. Come this way. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get you to hold that picture up so that people can see it. And maybe we can put it on the screen as well. And if you can hold that up, Elena. Does anybody else want to come? Roxy and Sophie, could you come and help? Come on then. Both of you come up. That's perfect. Then I've got three. So we're thinking about these commandments. Could you hold that one for me, Roxy? And you hold that one, Sophie. There we go. So you come and stand here, and you hold them up. Now, Ulysses, if you come over here, because we need to scribble on the right one, not on the wrong one. So there are different ways that we might think about these commandments, these Ten Commandments. Could you stand slightly further apart there, girls? Come this way a bit, Elena. So one way that we could think about these commandments is like this one here. It's up on the screen there. Buy nine, get one free. Where we look at these commandments and we think, well, we'll tick this one off. We've done that, we've done that, we've done that. We will achieve freedom. We will earn God's favor if we do these things that he tells us to do. Now, if you're in school, I was in a school the other day and they had a reward system. And if you behaved really well and you kept all the rules and you did it for the whole term, you could collect enough points to win yourself an iPad. Now, if I tell you, that is Bourneville School. So if you're in year six or year five, then Bourneville School could be the place to go. But that's how we sometimes think about the Ten Commandments, where we just need to tick them off, and if we do them all and we do it right, then we will get our freedom. We'll get God to like us. Now, that is not the right way for us to read them. We thought about that last week and the week before when Mark was preaching here, that these Ten Commandments were given to people who were already free. They were free because God loved them, not because of what they've done. So, Ulysses, what you do is put a big cross through the middle of that, if you can get the lid off the pen. It's a bit of a... There we go. So put a cross through that one. So we're not going to go for this way of thinking about the Ten Commandments. That's it, right across there. So let's come on to the one we have here. Now, some of us who were here last week, you will have seen this picture. We might think about the Ten Commandments as like a fence. And some of you might recognize where that is, but you can tell me later. These are things, we might think about them as ways that God has sort of made life worse for us by stopping us going down paths which look really good. And we'd like to go there, and God has just kind of plopped in these barriers which just bang down across our path and say, no, you can't come in here, no entry, go away, do something else. And we might resent them because they're barriers and they feel quite inconvenient and they feel like they're getting in our way. And so people quite often, as you can see here, find ways to get around those kind of barriers, to get around those kind of fences. And we thought last week here in the adult church about how that's not really how we should approach the Ten Commandments either. So we can put a cross through that, because God has a relationship with us, and a relationship with us doesn't just mean that there are things he says you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this as annoyances. Rather, we're going to come to our final one. I'm afraid your crossing out is done now, Ulysses, for the moment anyway. So this one, this final one, we can see the pictures up on the screen. And again, if you were here last week, you may have got one of these to take away with you. And the idea here, can you see what's on there, Roxy? What's this building here? Does anybody see what that building is, this white building here? It's a lighthouse. It's a lighthouse. And what the lighthouse does is it warns ships about these nasty rocks that are down here. Basically, it says to the ships, if you've come too close here, you're going to get shipwrecked on these rocks. So this is a warning to stay away. And that's exactly how Jesus talks about the commandments, isn't it? When he says things like, you've heard it said, do not murder. But I say to you, don't even get angry. He's saying this is a really dangerous area for us. So don't come near to this point. And that's how I think we should best understand these commandments. They are sort of warning beacons telling us teaching us not to go too close or not to go close to these particular points. So, if we think about that then, these three ways of thinking about the Ten Commandments, and we've decided that we're going to go, well, I've decided that we're going to go with this one rather than with those other two, then we have another question. So, once upon a time, someone came to Jesus and said to Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Well, you know the commandments." And the man said, and Jesus listed the five commandments that Haley read for us today. Honor your father and mother. Do not murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't lie. And the fifth one was?
Don't steal.
Thank you, Rosemary. Yes. Those are the five that Jesus mentioned. And the man said, do you remember what the man said? He said, "I've done all of those. I've done all of those." Almost as though I've ticked all of those boxes. I've done all of that. I've avoided all of those fences you've put up. Think about it like that. And Jesus says to him, he doesn't say, "Well done, you're in." He says to him, "One thing you lack." Do you remember what he said? What was it that he lacked? This is the rich young ruler. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor. Basically, Jesus was saying, well, you've kept these commandments. You've avoided being shipwrecked. But actually, there's more that I want you to do. You have all of this wonderful, free, open space out at sea. And I want you to use it to love your neighbor. These five commandments are all about our neighbors, how we deal with our neighbors. And Jesus is saying, love your neighbors. That's how Jesus summarizes this part of the law. I don't know for you and for me this morning what loving your neighbor might look like. We're going to think about that a bit through this service. It probably doesn't mean selling everything you have and giving it to the poor, but it might do. It might mean all sorts of things. And this morning, we're really, really delighted that we have Hiromi with us. And in just a few moments' time, after we've sung again, we're going to hear from Hiromi about how the call to love your neighbor has been worked out in her life. We're going to hear her story, hear her testimony, and hear about the work that she has been called to do by God in this city and in Birmingham. And I hope as we listen to Hiromi's story, we'll be encouraged and inspired to think about how can I love my neighbor? We've heard from Hiromi how she's loving her neighbour. She's come here to Birmingham to move herself here, to reach out to this specific group of people and show her practical love to them in that way. But what about us? We thought about the Ten Commandments this morning, and perhaps you've thought, well, I've never murdered anybody, and I haven't lied, and I have honoured my father and mother. Well, what beyond that might we positively think of? What is it that God is calling us to do to love our neighbour positively, to reach out as Hiromi is and has been doing in practical ways to our neighbours? And that could be the person who is sat next to you here this morning. Maybe just notice, who is sat next to you this morning? Sorry, Josh is... Nobody. Who is sat around you? It may be that God is calling us today to do something practical, to express love and care for the person sat right by us or around us. Maybe inviting them for a meal. Maybe inviting them for a cup of coffee. Maybe just phoning them up, writing them an email or a letter. Ways that we might proactively, positively show love to those around us. And for me, one of the greatest joys of being a minister is when I hear about those kind of things happening within the church. I hear that this person invited that person to go for a meal and they were supporting one another. That's just wonderful to hear. It would be great to see that happening more. Love one another. It's what David left us with, if you remember, on Christmas Day. But it could also be that God is calling us to love our neighbour, as in our neighbours who aren't here, who aren't in church this morning or any morning, who never come through these doors and worship with us here. And we've got two things happening. I mentioned both already. The CMM choir coming here on the 24th of June, 6 p.m. Maybe there's somebody you could invite to come and to listen to that concert. It's a community choir. It's a wonderful, wonderful group. You can invite someone to come and to hear the good news of Jesus in a way that wouldn't be oppressive. that would be comfortable for you to do. That is one thing we might do. The other one, again, we've heard it already, the Family Fun Day coming up in just a few weeks' time. Who might you invite to come along, to come and experience Ulysses in his capoeira demonstration, to come and get their face painted or just have a cup of coffee or a homemade cake or whatever else they want to take part in that fun day on the 30th of June. But these expressions of our love for people, the concern that we've heard from Hiromi, that those Japanese returnees would go back to Japan and would settle into churches and would grow as Christians. Do we have that same concern for those around us, those who aren't here in churches? It would be really good to spend some time in prayer this morning, to be praying for one another and to pray that God would help us to see where is it he wants us to love our neighbour this morning.